Should sing it again. All right, let's go in our Bibles this morning. We're going to go to the Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to start there and go to the book of Deuteronomy. We'll come back to the book of Proverbs. And here we have a great passage of Scripture. We're going to title our message today, God's Desire, His Best for You. God's Desire, His Best for You. As we think of Proverbs 23, we find the instructions of... It's really actually the instructions of God to every believer. It's in the context of a father giving instruction to his son. But really, it's really the thought of God, the Father, giving instruction to every one of his children. And we'll make that parallel pretty obvious in a few minutes. But it says in Proverbs 23, verse 15, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. And of course, we have the earthly setting of a father telling his son, now you need to listen to what I'm telling you. I'm giving you the instructions from God because there's an end to everything in life. The pathway you go will have an end. So it's going to turn out to be something. And it just doesn't turn out to be nothing. There is an end to everything in life. And he's, of course, pleading with him that the end of his life would be a good end. Now, we're going to take some time and come back here in a minute. But let's look at the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to see some principles here about God the Father, His desire for our best, His desire for our lives, that is so important. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll look here today, and we'll look at some other places, but Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, Deuteronomy is a pretty important book in the Bible. Do you know that Jesus quoted the book of Deuteronomy that more than any other book in the Old Testament? And he used the book of Deuteronomy as the basis of many and of his great teachings. And I think it has his example of how important it is. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 and 25, want to see this important point. It says, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. Now, some people get kind of mixed up on that word statutes. Now, in fact, what does that mean? The laws of the state of Wisconsin are called statutes. Okay? It's not statues, you know, it's statutes. These are the laws of God that He has written down for mankind. For mankind, for civilization, for humankind, but especially for the saved people. It says, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Now, what I want us to notice, first of all, is I want us to notice the heart of God the Father. Notice the heart of God. It says he's given us these statutes, verse 24. It says what? For our good. For our good. For our good always. And verse 25, it says something close to that. It says, here it says, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments. Chapter 8, verse 1, you'll find this theme throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live. That ye may live. Wow. As we just think about what God is saying of what his plan is, what his desire is. And we find that throughout the book of Deuteronomy, God's heart for his people, that they may live, that it may go well with them, that their life could be a blessing. Over and over we find great truth of God's plan for his people. That's a good one. Now, another simple, there's so many times there in the book of Deuteronomy, we could, chapter 30, we find that emphasize a number of things. And verse 15, Deuteronomy 30. It says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and hell, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Now, we could say this over and over, but I think it's pretty obvious. What is the heart of the Father? The heart of the Father is that it may be well with his children. That it may be well with his children. Now, in the process, we find that this involves some important truths. First of all, the heart of the Father is revealed by the commandments, the instructions that are given. He's saying over and over and over, he said, I've given you these commandments. I've given you these instructions. I've given you these laws. I have taught you, I've given you these things. So that what? It may go well with you. That's important truth. Now, departing from this in just a very common sense way, what's your attitude about the Bible? What's your attitude about the Bible? I mean, the obvious truth is that God, a God of love, out of his heart of love for his people, has given us the instructions, the commandments, the statutes of the Bible. That is the God of heaven. His heart is for the best for His children. And because He has a heart for the best for His children, He is going to give them instructions. He's given us the Bible. He's given us the truth. And that certainly is a very important principle that we understand. You know, those who are trying to destroy the people of God, and those who are trying to destroy Christianity, you know, just trying to destroy your life, is really the enemies of God and the messengers of Satan. They try to mock the Bible. They try to tell you, you don't need to obey it. They try to tell you, live the way you want. Well, first of all, a person needs to understand the heart of the Father. Now, the heart of the Father is that He gives us the Word of God that it may be well with us. The second aspect of it is kind of similar, is that God's heart is not only that He gives us the Bible, so it would be well with us, but notice the heart of the Father concerning the heart of the child. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. And we'll read part of the context. It says, verse 27, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. Now, if you were here a few weeks ago and we did went through the book of Deuteronomy, one of the things we encourage people to do is circle the word all. And you'd have that word circled quite a few times if you read the book of Deuteronomy. And it says, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, now here's the verse we want to look at. Oh, this is God's heart. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. That it may be well with thee and with their children forever. Very, very simple truth. You know, God's plan, what is His plan? God's plan is His best for you and I. And He gave us the Word of God so that we could know would know what is right, and we could follow what is right, and we could be blessed because we would obey what He said. But God knows we're sinners. And He knows we have a problem. And that is that sinners have a problem that they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. And so we see the second aspect of His heart. It says, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me, that they would keep all my commandments. Now notice he's directing this very issue to the hearts of men. We have a heart problem. And the thing that is keeping us from having God's best starts with our heart. And you can almost hear him lament, oh, 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 if they would just have a heart to obey what I say, if they only had a heart to hear what I say. And you know, God probably is right from heaven looking at your heart right now, and I wonder what he's saying. Is his heart broken and grieved because he knows your heart doesn't care? Do you know that your heart is distracted? That he knows, doesn't he? He knows that. And he knows that if your heart isn't hungry for him, there's only one thing that's left, and that is not good. Because you can't. The Word of God, it starts with your heart and my heart. And so he says, oh, that there were such an heart in them. Now, as we think about these things, we see this as the background of the book of Proverbs. And so let's go back to Proverbs 23. And I think if a person would take the truths of Deuteronomy and see the heart of God and see that the Word of God was given to us for our good and that we must obey it, and that God realized the key of the people of Israel is, oh, if they would just have a heart to obey me, they could just experience this, all the blessing that I have for them as a people, as a nation. And of course, we know in history they didn't. They didn't get it. They were stubborn, hard-hearted, rebellious. And their history was one mainly of trouble and destruction and judgment of God. Yeah, because they just would not let their heart be taken by God. And here we find Proverbs as a background to that. We see that that is exactly the whole perspective given in Proverbs 15. And so as we read this, we ought to read what God is saying to you and I. First of all, but it says, here is a father. He says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Wow. This is the heart of the father. If we look at verse 23, we see that again. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. And she that bear thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart. See the same principles? God the Father saying, oh, I have given you these statutes, these laws for your good. For your good, that it may be well with you. Now, isn't it amazing? The issue today is the Bible. It's not following a trendy culture that's decaying. You know what? This church is against a decaying culture, whatever culture it is. We don't go by culture, we go by the Bible. Don't try to fit in. Don't try to fit in this world. This world's going downhill. I remember one time someone called me up. They were looking for someone to marry him. And so I answered the phone. And I can remember the whole story. I said, well, you know, we're old-fashioned here. We believe the Bible. And the person on the other end of the man said, well, I'm not like that anymore. I don't believe that old-fashioned stuff about marriage and for life and all of that stuff. He said, I've just got kind of a more of a modern view of marriage and the family. And then I said to him, I says, well, how's your new view doing? How's your new view doing? How's your view of marriage and the family turning out? It's not turning out too good, is it? You know, that's the issue. How's it turning out? And so we have this, kind of forgot where I was here for a second. I was having so much fun telling the story. But God has given us His Word for our good. It reveals His heart. And here we say the same truth here as it's incorporated into a twofold picture. We have the picture in Proverbs of really we have an earthly father instructing his son. But really the earthly father is representing who? God. And in that sense, God, the book of Proverbs applies to everyone. Okay? Applies to everyone. And on the other hand, it is specifically applying to God's order for the family. The order of a family is that the father, he's all about the son turning out right. And his job as the father is to give commandments, instructions, statutes that the son doesn't understand because he's inexperienced. He hasn't lived life before. And so the father knows there's a problem. That the son is born with a sinful heart. The son is born with a sinful heart. And just like the people of Israel, they were his people, but they had a sinful heart. And he couldn't make them want to obey. You think about it. God did everything perfect with the people of Israel, right? Did everything perfect. But he said, oh, if they would just have a heart to obey me. See, I think the Bible is saying, showing us that even God who did everything perfect, it was still the choice of the child. It's still the choice of the child to give their heart to the Father. It's the choice of the child. Every child has a choice what they're going to do with their heart. And he's saying here, verse 15, my son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. We have the heart of the Father. We have the heart of the Son. It says, verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners. Now here's the Here's a reality. That God knows that our heart has problems. And every father knows that a son's heart has problems. Now the problem is most sons don't know their hearts have problems. That's why God's given us the Bible. And notice, he says there's a problem. Verse 17, he says, let not thine heart envy sinners. What do you mean? Why would you tell your son not to envy sinners except that the human heart has a problem? You know what the problem is? The human heart envies sinners. That's the problem. The human heart sees sinners and envies it, wants it, thinks it's good. That's a problem, isn't it? That's us. That's us. I have this conversation with this fellow on the phone, and guess what? He envies sinners. He don't want the Bible. He envies sinners. Now he doesn't. Not only does he have a problem with envy sinners, he's foolish. You know what foolish means? Foolish means you don't correctly judge the facts. That's what it means to be foolish, doesn't it? You know? You don't correctly judge the facts. Now, using that illustration as a base of it, if the modern way about marriage doesn't work, dating around, carousing, temporary marriage, divorce, disaster, heartbreak, children distorted, immoral. It doesn't work. You'd say people would avoid it like a plague, right? Do they? I'm just having fun now. But you know what? People are still watching Hollywood and learning from Hollywood. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Why? Because our heart is foolish. Our heart is foolish. And the Bible tells us that a heart of a child is foolish. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 22, it says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? You know what simplicity is? Don't make me think. That's simplicity, isn't it? Don't make me think. In fact, that's the modern Christianity, isn't it? Don't make me think. I just want to go to church and feel good. I don't want to be faced with any facts. I don't want to be facing Bible conviction. I just want to pretend like everything's going to be fine. You know, I go to church, I just sit there and pretend like I'm putting in my time and get out of there as soon as I can. But notice it says, and fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. They don't want to hear the facts. They don't want the truth. That's a problem. It's a problem. The Bible says, forsake the foolish and live. So we have, God knows that we have a problem. He knows that we have a problem. And that we have a sinful heart. That we know it all. We don't need to know what God says. We don't need to obey what God says. We don't need to do what God says. That somehow it's just going to turn out. That's not life. And so we see, let's go back to Proverbs 23. I want to spend a little bit more time there. We want to get some principles here. Notice it says, as we already said, it says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Surely there is an end. The Bible says, behold, your sin will find you out. It doesn't, when you plant corn, you're not gonna get wheat. You plant wild oats, you're not gonna get blessing. It's just a simple formula of life. Don't envy sinners. Now I'm going to make it kind of plain here. It says, verse 24, it says, be not among winebibbers. You know, one of the great, we've been learning this in our Bible Institute class, is one of the great issues of life is called influence. One of the big issues of life is called influence. And negative never influences you for right. Did you know that? Bad never influences you for right. Isn't that kind of simplistic? I'm showing I don't have a very big IQ. But the fact is, negative sin never influences you for right. Never. Now the foolish man says, I can hang around who I want to hang around with. I'm going to influence them. No. Negative is going to influence you downward. It's never going to influence you upward. And you know there's only one solution. You know what it is? It's called separation. Period. That's what the Bible teaches. Separation. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You want to be corrupted? Then be around weak people. You want to be corrupted? Be around sinful people. You want to be corrupted? Be around worldly people. Don't. And if you want to have all of that in one package, well, you know, just watch, you know, TV all day long. Or be around the wrong kind of friends. You know, it doesn't matter what the title is in front of the person. You know that? It doesn't matter if it's reverend, doctor, uncle. Doesn't matter. Negative always rubs off. Sin always rubs off. It says, verse 21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And I was talking here about the sluggard. and saying, now don't be around these kind of people. Why? Because their end is not very good. And if you're around them, that's going to be your end. Now, he gives us the other the answer. And it gives a very important thing. Because notice it says, verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begot thee. And despise not thy mother when she is old. Did you know that there's a sense, a normal sense of responsibility and care for someone who begets a child? Did you know that? Now, you illustrate that in more than one way. I was just talking to a fellow, it was just a week ago. The fellow at Graveside over there, he'd been our cemetery many times with the burials. I think his name is Kevin. And I've tried to talk to him many times about the Lord. And he's kind of a tough guy. And you'd think being around burial, he'd be a little bit more realistic. But so I was talking to Kevin, and I says, well, Kevin, million-dollar question in life is, do you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven? And he says, well, nobody can know that. So I said, Kevin, let me tell you a story. I says, you know, I witnessed to a lot of biker type of guys, a lot of tough guys. And they say, I don't care if I'm going to hell. But then I ask him, I says, you want your kids to go to hell? I haven't met one of those tough guys yet that want their kids to go to hell. You know, there's something about being a father, isn't there? Even those tough guys, they don't want their kids to go to hell. And notice what it's saying. It says, hearken unto thy father that begot thee. You know, what am I trying to get at? Two things. Is that the normal plan is that a Christian father, they want the best for their child. And a Christian father is going to teach their child the Bible. And they're going to tell their child what is right. And they're going to tell them what is right because they care about the end of their life. They care. Now, the fact is, I've been around long enough that not every child really cares about how things turn out. There are many times more care about today. Their friends. Being cool. You know what I mean? They don't care about 50 years from now. They don't care about 200 years from now. They don't care about 5 generations from now. They just care about what they want to do. But a real father doesn't care like that. A real father cares about not only his son, he cares about his grandkids, he cares about his great-grandkids and his great-great-great-grandkids. And because of that, they're going to give them instructions. But I also say that because of this. Hearken to thy father that begot thee. Because there's plenty of voices, young person. There's plenty of people that don't care about you that want to lead you in the wrong way. There's plenty of people out there that don't care about you. They just want to influence you. And you know what? They know this. Anybody who wants to influence you wrongly, they know something that's really not too hard to figure out. You know what it is? If they can alienate you from your parents, they've won the battle. Right? They can alienate you from your parents who are trying to teach you right. They have won the battle, right? Don't be around people who try to influence other kids to go against that which is right. They don't care about the end. Remember years ago, this is about 10, 15 years ago. There was a young man that was counselor at Camp Joy. He was from Germany. Germany's a tough mission field. Really tough. Mission field is a tough place to raise a family. No question about it. This young man, they came to church here that summer and got to know him. And the Lord was working in his heart that summer. It was really just a blessing to see. And we had all the kids over for lunch one Sunday. And I never forget what he said. He said, in Germany, your parents don't count for anything. It's the gang. It's your friends. And he was at the spiritual state that he was saying was in Germany is in big, big, big trouble. Because society had successfully alienated children from God's plan. And that's what we see here. Do you think do you think Hollywood wants children to obey their parents? Now, you know what? I'm pretty ancient. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I ever watched The Simpsons. That's kind of old, right? But, you know, 30 years ago, kids watched The Simpsons all the time. And you know what The Simpsons was all about? Mocking mom and dad. That's what it's all about. And kids all over America watch The Simpsons. I didn't. You know, praise the Lord. And I don't even know anything about it. But I know that whatever this character was in The Simpsons, he always is back talking his parents. And he always had, I don't know, I wouldn't be proper in public to say the kind of words he used about his parents. But that's what they were teaching young people. Well, what was the purpose? Break down God's plan. And so, here's the counsel. It says, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now, here's the positive. What's it saying? Now, this is instruction for every adult, but obviously for every Christian. But it's obviously instruction for every child, every teenager, every young person, every young adult. You know, I say especially by the time you get to be a young adult, this is a key principle. Okay? What does it say? Buy the truth. What do you mean, buy the truth? In other words, the most important thing you can buy in your life. You know, what do you use your money for? What you spend your money on for tells you what's important to you, right? Isn't that right? What you spend your money on is what tells you what's important for you. What your dreams are with spending your money, that tells you what's important for you, right? And he says, buy the truth. This is the most important thing in life, is buy the truth. It reminds us of Proverbs 2, where it says, verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Whoa. Guess what? What's it saying? The most important thing in life is finding out the truth of God's word. Buy the truth. Buy the truth. Hunger after it. Desire it. Realize it's the most important thing that you can ever get in life is the truth of God's word. Now, think about it. Why does it say buy? There's an illustration here. What is the biggest problem that so-called Christianity has today? Do you know what the biggest problem is today? There's lots of them. They're so big. You know what the biggest problem is among young people? Probably adults too. They probably got it from mom and dad. You know what the biggest problem is? The truth doesn't hit home. The truth is academic. It's only something that you know. It doesn't change your life. It doesn't stir your soul. It doesn't make your life different. You know, I think Ken Ham wrote a book. He said in the book, what did he say? 80% of kids raised in church, by the time they're 18, are going to deny God. We're talking about evangelical Christianity. Churches where kids go and they sit in the pew and they make no decisions for God. God never speaks to their heart. They never make big decisions for God. Their heart is in the world. Their heart is, whether it's football or baseball or cars or sports or whatever, not bad things, but their heart isn't for God. And it doesn't make any difference in their life. Those kind of people don't buy truth. Okay, so let's just say, what do you mean? Okay, somebody give me $100. Okay, I'm gonna tell you a Bible truth. Give me $100. Give me $100, I'll tell you. How many would do it? Well, you know, let's see. Give me $100 and I'll give you a nice golf ball. No, you might not do that. Let's see, what could I give him? How about a four-wheeler? $100, I'll give you a four-wheeler. I got four of them in my garage. I don't drive any of them. How many want a four-wheeler? Give me $100. First one up here, $100, I'll give it to you. But you know, nobody was really anxious to come up here when I said, give me $100 and I'll give you a great truth in the Bible to change your life. That's what it's saying, right? Buy the truth. So it says in Proverbs chapter 8, let's turn there quickly just to try to wrap it up here. Proverbs 8, verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed are this man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Now, you want to give your dad a heart attack? Want to give your mom a heart attack, young person? Just wake up in the morning and say, Dad, teach me something today that I need to learn. Dad, show me, tell me something I need to change in my life. Dad, show me something that I'm doing wrong. I'm going the wrong way. That's what it's talking about. That's what it's saying. Blessed is the man that heareth me watching daily at my gates. You know, you went to the gate of the city to be taught. The elders from the elders of the city, the wise men of the city, you went there to be taught. And here's this person, every day he goes there to the gate of the city to learn from the elders of the city of what's right and what's wrong and how to live and who not to hang around with and what kind of people to have you as your friends. And every day he goes to the gate and he's learning from the elders of the city. And guess what? God says, blessed is that man. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that young person who wants to go to a Christian school so that they can learn the Word of God, so the teacher can teach them what they've learned all their life living, having lived a successful Christian life. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man who wants to hear the Word of God and every day goes to the Word of God and wants to see what God says. So why? So they can obey it. Blessed is that man. Because a loving Father has given us His Word. All the answers are in this book. America has rejected this book and this God, and America is down, going down, down, down. Our people are going down, down, down. But God is an answer. You know, and I think that there's one thing that's really wonderful is here. You know what? It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Isn't that great? Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. You can decide that you are going to be blessed. Amen? You can decide that you're going to be that person whose heart is the one that believes that God wants His best for you and has given you the Bible for that purpose. You can be that person who goes to that God and goes to His Word and says, I'm going to order my life aright according to this book. I don't care what the neighbors say. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what anybody other family does. Our family's going to do what's right. That's how it works. Amen? Blessed is the man that decides they're going to buy the truth and sell it not. And I find that God's desire would be all the people of God would be like that. His desire was all the people of Israel would be like that. God was greatly disappointed. But God doesn't change God's desire for you. Amen? It doesn't change God's desire for this church, does it? And everybody in this auditorium today could decide that they want God's best. But they're going to have to give their heart to God. And they have to realize that there's all sorts of things that are out there to rob your heart and my heart. And there's a lot of good things out there that rob people's heart. I say to people, if you want to know what robs your heart, is just, if you're a man, you know, just go look at a Fireman Fleet sale catalog before you read your Bible. See if you lost a little bit of hunger for reading the Bible when you got to look at all the tools or whatever. Whatever it is. There's a lot of things after our heart, isn't there? And of course, it all has to start with the fact that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Herein is love. Not that we love God. No, we love ourselves. We love to go on our own way. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us first. And He sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross for us. And just like Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God went looking for them. God went looking for them. Yeah, they hid. They hid from a loving God. And that's what a lot of people do, don't they? They hide from a loving God. But God persisted and He pursued them that He might show them the plan of salvation. If you're here today, we need to realize that we are sinners. And we have a foolish heart. We are bent on going our own way. We have that within us that would want us to run from God or resist God or do our own thing, think we know better than God. But thank God we have a book that tells us there's millions of people who've done that. And this tells what happens. And it tells us what we ought to do instead. Buy the truth and sell it not. There's so many applications. I could be here too much time from now to tell you applications. Buy the truth. Don't believe the lie of the devil. The devil only wants to do one thing, that's destroy your life. The thief cometh not but to kill and destroy. But Jesus come said, I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. Christ proved our love, His love, by dying for us. We can trust Him. You can't trust the devil. And you can't trust wicked men. But you can trust God. Amen. And His Word has all the answers. But even if you're here today and you haven't come to Christ yet, there still is the issue, isn't there? Your heart. Your heart. Has sin gotten a hold of your heart? Has the world gotten a hold of your heart? Has wicked men gotten hold of your heart? Your friends gotten hold of your heart? That's the issue today. What's keeping you from pursuing God with all your heart? There's a reason. That's where the battle lies today. And as a Christian, you can judge what's going on in your soul by your love for God's Word and obeying Him. That's the issue of the heart today. And if you're a Christian, if you lost that heart, there's only one reason. And it's not a big word. S-I-N. That is the only reason that's made our heart cold against God. And we need to be honest with God. What is it? What is it? On the other hand, there's a positive course that we need to pursue. I trust that the Lord is speaking to you about making that the serious pursuit of your life. And that it is your decision to find out God's Word, to obey God's Word, to live God's Word, that you could have His blessing on your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God today. We thank You for the fact that You love us. We are so unworthy. And Lord, we thank You that You're waiting at the door for us. Now, I pray that even today, in Your mercy today, we would rejoice if even in this moment of time that there would be a believer who's lost their heart for God, that realizes there's only one end result and it's not good. That they're willing to admit it's their problem, not somebody else's. They're willing to name the sin, whether it's envy, jealousy, bitterness. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a sin of the flesh. Rob them of their joy. Oh God, give them deliverance. I pray for young people, Lord, that they would give their hearts to their parents as their parents try to teach them the Word of God. I pray for that child today that, Lord, they haven't given their heart to mom and dad as they try to raise them for God. I pray that today, Lord, that you would work in that young person's heart. While our heads are bowed and no one's looking around, maybe you are that young person and the Lord is speaking to your heart. You need to give your heart to mom and dad. They're trying to raise you from God. And you have not allowed them have your heart. And the Lord has spoken to your heart today and say, you know what, Pastor? I realize I have a sinful heart and I need to do what's right. I need to give my heart to my mom and dad as they try to teach me what is right. I need to give them my heart and listen so I can learn and I can be what I ought to be. And God has spoken to you today by an uplifted hand. Say, Pastor, I'm going to give my heart to my godly parents who are trying to raise me for God. I'm going to give my heart so that they can show me the right way. And I've been resisting. But God is speaking to my heart today. Would you just raise your hand today? God has spoken to you about that. Giving your heart to your parents that they would, as they want to raise you for God. Okay? I see a couple hands. Anyone else? That's an important decision for a young person to make. I'm going to give my heart to my parents. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? That's an important decision. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, as a Christian, I've lost my heart for the Word of God. I've lost my heart for it. And it's a serious situation. I need to give my heart back to God and to obey Him, to do His will. And the Lord is speaking to my heart that I need to give my heart to God, to hear His Word, to obey Him. Something has gotten in the way, but today I'm giving my heart back to God that I would listen to Him and hunger to obey Him. And that God has spoken to my heart today. What a wonderful change and decision that would be in your life today. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? God has spoken to my heart. I'm giving my heart back to God today to listen to Him, to obey Him. Anyone here, God has spoken to your heart. Okay, praise the Lord for that. I see another hand. Amen. Perhaps you're here today and say, you know, Pastor, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. I have not been born again. How could I ever make it through life without knowing a loving God? And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I realize that my prayer can't save you. You can only get saved by repenting and trusting Christ yourself. But you say, I know God's working in my heart, and I need to accept Christ. Would you pray for me? Anyone here, just lift up your hand wherever you might be. Say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. Okay, anyone here? Lord, now thank you for your word today and for these important truths. Use them in these special lives. We thank you for young people, Lord, that recognize this essential truth. And we pray for others, Lord, that this truth would really get a hold of their hearts, that Christian families could be what they need to be because the children have allowed their parents to have their heart. We thank you for the victories that you give, and that it might bring great glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.